Ken Felice wanted me to remind you to fill out your attendance book in the pews there. Scripture reading this morning is Galatians 6, 1 through 5. It's on page 1015 in your pew Bible. I think we all have to listen very carefully to these words this morning. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens so fulfill the law of Christ. For anyone who thinks he is something, then he is nothing. He deceives himself. But let each one of us test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each man will have to bear his own load. This ends the scripture reading.
And thank you for the reminder about the pew pads. I apologize for forgetting to mention that. So it was 1967, and a new book had come out. I love books, just not this one. It was entitled, well, it was by a man named Thomas Anthony Harris. And you know it's good when somebody has to use their middle name to be known. Thomas Anthony Harris wrote this book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Has anybody read I'm Okay, You're Okay? Right. And the premise of this book, of course, is that I'm okay and you're okay. Right? The premise is that you just the way you are, you're fine. You're fine just the way you are. And I am too. And we should really learn to accept ourselves just the way we are. And it's a wonderful little notion. It's a notion that is a tempting philosophy, isn't it? It's tempting because I would like to think that I don't have to improve in any way, shape, or form, and it's the rest of you that needs improvement, right? But I think that if we're honest with ourselves, I'm okay, you're okay, while a tempting philosophy may not necessarily be a Christian one. If we were to Christianize this idea, we would say, I am loved, and you are loved, in spite of the fact that we are not okay. In spite of the fact that we are being called to greater depths of grace, in spite of the fact that we have sin that needs to be repented of, in spite of the fact that God has something else in store for us. Now, we're talking about being gently restored today, and so we are going to talk a little bit about other people's sin. Other people's sin. This is a fun topic, right? This one's fun. You know, I think that in the last 2 minutes, you guys have laughed more than you have in the last year. It's incredible. You know, I just had to find your brand of humor. Christ followers will be mistaken sometimes, right? Sometimes we as people who follow Jesus, we are going to miss the mark. And sometimes we're going to do that willfully. We will willfully say, yeah, that's what Jesus wants me to do, but not today. Some of you might have done that at some point in your life. I'm not saying today, sometime. And sometimes we just make mistakes, right? Sometimes we just say, hey, look, I thought that was a good idea, but I was wrong. Now, the question we're going to try to answer is, how do we help each other? How do we help each other with holiness? How do we help each other? And how do we want to be helped when the shoe's on the other foot? Okay, so maybe we're not totally talking about other people's sin. But these are the two questions that I want you to keep in mind. How do we help each other? First of all, there's some things that we need to talk about. This
is going to be an important book today. So I'm going to be bopping all over this thing. So you're going to want to take that out of the pew in front of you.
That's right. Okay, good. I see you moving. Excellent. Thank you. You're going to want to take that out of the front of you. And we are going to bounce to a bunch of different places today. And so I just want you to be ready to do that. And I grabbed a pew Bible before the service, and I'll try to call out the numbers. In all honesty, though, I didn't rehearse this way, so this could be interesting. Pray a little bit that these things don't fall out, because otherwise we're in trouble. All right, so our scripture for the day was Galatians 6, 1-5, and you can find that on 1015, right? And our first verse in that is, if a man, or I would add a woman, is overtaken in any trespass, okay? So, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. All right, so we'll get to the spirit of gentleness here in a second, but I want to talk about being overtaken. Being overtaken, right? Now, we're going to lay the foundation here a little bit. Going to lay the foundation. And first of all, I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. I want to make sure this idea is firmly implanted in your mind. These ideas of sin and evil, right? Sin and evil, right? These are two very closely related but not synonymous, not exactly the same ideas. First of all, sin is anything that separates us from God. Anything that separates us from God. And evil is anything that separates us from one another. All right? So, something that separates us from God could be very, very evil. Think Nazi Germany evil. But something that separates us from God could not be perceived to be evil at all. Or very, very little on the evil scale, right? Perhaps a white lie. Maybe even a white lie told to save somebody else's feelings. But anything that separates us from God is sin. Okay? So I want to make sure that sin and evil are firmly imprinted in your mind. Sin separates us from God. Now, here's your next one. It's in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, and that's 1060, page 1060. Actually, it would be 1061, my apologies. Check this out. Peter says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. All right? So when we're talking about being overtaken, when the Bible talks about being overtaken, we're talking about being out on safari and being the prey. Being the prey animal. Has everybody watched some sort of National Geographic special? Right? You've seen the National Geographic special where there's this shot of the lion, the predator in the bush, right? And
there's this very dramatic moment, right, where the gazelle is just kind of out there doing its thing, and the lion is trying to creep up as close as possible, and then there comes that moment, and you can watch the cat get more and more high-strung. You watch it, like, just curl up, and then there's this explosion, right, of energy. And if the prey animal is watching, you see them explode and run and run and run and run. And sometimes the prey animal gets away, and sometimes we see it get taken down, right? The Bible says that's us. That's us. And we are on the not-so-happy side of that equation. That sin comes after us. Sin wants us like that lion wants its next meal. Sin is coming after us. So we have to be watchful. We have to be watchful. And the Bible takes it for granted that there are going to be some times when you and I don't win that race. The Bible takes it for granted that there are going to be times when we're going to need some help. I saw an interesting thing happen at my last church. Actually, at my last parsonage. All right, I actually saw this playing out in my backyard. Right? And I don't know if you've actually ever seen a predator in action. But there was a coyote in my backyard. And there was a deer, a couple of deer. And one of the deer was very, very young. Right? And you know how this works in the wild, right? So predators will look for the young and the sick, the slow ones in the herd, right? And so I watched this predator creep across the field and get closer and closer and closer. And then something happened that was completely unexpected. I've never seen this. I've never heard of anything like this happen. The mama deer faces down the coyote. The mama deer goes after the coyote and swinging those hooves. Have you ever, do you know how sharp those hooves are? Those are not pleasant things. I had to look this up later. I was completely mind-boggled that this mama deer would go after this predatory animal and won. This coyote went right back the way it came. And that's the kind of thing that we're talking about today, is that when someone is about to be overtaken, when we see somebody falling, when we see somebody at risk, when we see somebody that needs help, we're not going after the young one, we're not going after the sick one, we're not going after the vulnerable one, we're not going after that person and saying, hey, you know what, you should really be older than you are, hey, you know what, you should really be healthier than you are. We're not going and telling them about their vulnerabilities, we're telling, hey, this sin needs to go. This sin needs to go. But eventually all of us give in to an action, a word, or even a thought. Isn't that a scary thing? That if you read the words of Jesus, he says, our thought life, God knows what's going on up here. And whatever we harbor inside of ourselves is either bringing us closer or pushing us further away from God. So we're going to be overtaken. We're going to be at risk of being overtaken, each and every one of us. So what do we do? The next part of that verse in Galatians is, with a spirit of gentleness. With a spirit of gentleness. When we see sin in others, how do we respond? Well, let me broaden this, the big we. How have you seen other Christians respond to sin? Has it always been pretty? No. No, it hasn't. Has it always been with a spirit of gentleness? No, it hasn't. Right? Sometimes we get this self-righteous indignation that sin, that we're so much holier, or that it's so offensive that we need to come back. We meet offensiveness with offensiveness. We meet fire with fire. And we do absolutely nothing to cool things off. We do absolutely nothing to help. We crush the person rather than build them up. The Bible talks about a spirit of gentleness. Now, the other side of this is, how else do we see Christians responding to sin? I would say a little bit like an ostrich. You know what ostriches do? Hide their heads in the sand, right? Hide their heads in the sand, and they'll pretend it's not happening, right? I've never actually seen a real life ostrich hiding its head in the sand. I've just heard that. I don't even know if that's true. But Christians are like that if it is true. If it is true, a lot of Christians are like that. We'll pretend it's not happening. We'll pretend it's not happening. Here's your next verse. It's in Proverbs chapter 15. You'll find this one on page 558. I promised you we were going all over the place today. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is your wisdom literature of the Bible. This is your wisdom, right? This is the stuff that's supposed to make us wiser. A harsh word, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We're supposed to have a spirit of gentleness. This spirit of gentleness is called for here in the Old Testament, and we just read about it in the New Testament. This is something that's very, very consistent throughout the entire Bible. If God keeps on giving people a message back in the Old Testament, and then God gives that same message again in the New Testament, do you think God is serious about that message? Do you think God is serious about a message that is consistent throughout the entire Bible? I think so. A spirit of gentleness is what we are called to have. We are called to not be wrathful with people who are sinning. You know, the Bible says that it's God's job to be the judge, right? It's God's job to judge, not ours. Now, keep in mind, it's God's job to judge. Sometimes I think we pretend like that won't happen either. So, I was going to save this analogy, or save this story for another time, but I'm going to use it now. And I haven't checked, but maybe I've already actually used it here, but I'm going to do this. So there was this preacher who was at this church, not like our church where I get sent here, but this is one of those churches that could choose its pastor, right? Maybe it was Presbyterian, I don't know. But the pastor gets up and he says, "You're all sinners and you're going to hell." And so the equivalent of the SPRC got together after church and they fired him. And somebody was watching this and they said, "Okay." And that visitor came and left, and a year later they came back and there was a new pastor. And so the visitor went to one of the SPRC and said, "Oh, well, what's the message of the new pastor?" And the new, and the SPRC said, you know, the old pastor said, you're all sinners and you're going to hell. And the new pastor said, you're all sinners and you're in danger of going to hell. And so the visitor said, well, what's really the difference there? And the personnel person said, you know, the difference is the second one said it with tears in his eyes. Because if we're going to love the people in sin, we have to actually care about them, not just about being right, not just about winning an argument. We have to embrace a spirit of gentleness. Now, the next part of this verse in Galatians talks about bearing one another's burdens, right? So if you're flipping back and forth between our Galatians verse and the verses that I'm sending you to, we're talking about bearing one another's burdens. And we're called to help one another. We're called to walk with each other. Isn't it easy just to point the finger and say, you know, you should do better, and walk away? It's so easy to say, you're doing that wrong. It's so easy to look at a painter and say, hey, you missed a spot, and walk, right? It's so easy to look at somebody who's cleaning up and criticize about how it could have done better, been done better. It's a little bit different to grab a paintbrush and go and get that spot. It's a little bit different to grab a mop and help out. It's a little bit different. And yet, this is what we're called to. We're called to help one another and walk with each other. Now, if you're still in Proverbs, you can flip on over to Proverbs 27, which is on page 569. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Now, while you're getting there, I'm just going to say a great sermon, and I'm not saying I preach great sermons very often, but a great sermon might miraculously inspire someone to change in an instant. But I would say that in most cases, people who are struggling with a sin, probably it's going to take some time. Probably it's a little bit more like an addiction. Probably it's a little bit more like somebody who's struggling to give something up. But that is deeply enrooted, and we pray and we pray and we pray and we make progress, and then we fall, and then we make some progress, and then we fall. And it really helps if somebody's walking along. Here it is, Proverbs 27, 17. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. One woman sharpens another. We're called to walk together through the challenges and temptations that we face. And that's kind of an unusual thing that gets preached, isn't it? That's kind of an unusual item to have to absorb. I don't think we talk about that very much. I don't think that we lay our burdens out there so that other people can burn them. I think a lot of times when we talk about temptations, we get ashamed that we're tempted. Jesus was tempted. You know the difference between temptation and sin, right? And if iron sharpens iron, that only works if the two things come together. It only works if we're bearing one another's burdens. You know, this I'm okay, you're okay mentality isn't a new concept. It's not a new concept. And our Galatians scripture tells us not to deceive ourselves. And to be honest with you, I like to try to wash away my own sin. I like to pretend that I'm not sinned. I like to pretend that I don't have room for growth. And maybe you like to pretend that too. I like to pretend that I'm the exception and not the rule. But isn't that what sin's about? Saying that this is an exception to the rules of God when God didn't make exceptions. Here's another verse for you. Romans 3, verse 23. Some of you probably have this one memorized. That's on page 979. 979. Borrowing a little bit from verse 22, he says, "For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. You, me, everyone who ever was, everyone who will come, all have sinned. All have missed the mark. All have decided that they're going to go their way instead of God's way. We can't deceive ourselves because that's truth. We can't deceive ourselves and tell ourselves that we're okay because if we're okay, then why do we need forgiveness? Why would Jesus have died? If we're okay, then what's the point of all of this? The truth is we do need forgiveness. The truth is we do need Christ's love. The truth is we need that grace and mercy. One more. Matthew 5, verse 20 on page 838. Unless you're thinking, oh, that's in other places in the Bible, not the important places. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking. And he says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Whoa. Whoa. This is Jesus speaking. Kind of scary stuff. Kind of scary stuff. But this is where it's not scary, is that we can be more righteous. But only by repenting of our sins, only by laying that down and asking for forgiveness, because it's Jesus' righteousness that gets seen and our unrighteousness that gets washed away. And so that's the good news, is that when we are self-testing, we're self-testing to see what we need to bring to God to ask for forgiveness for. We're self-testing to say that this is what I do need to turn away from, and yet Jesus forgives me for that sin. And that is good news, my friends. And as we are leading each other, as we are walking together, as we are being iron that sharpens iron, let's try to do that gently. Let's try to do that with the love that it was intended to be given. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that you are a God who gently restores us, who leads us one step at a time, who meets us where we are at, who loves us in spite of the fact that we are sinners. God, thank you for restoring us to what we were meant to be. Please help us not to get lazy on this walk of faith. Please help us to look for what the next step of holiness is, so that one day we might stand in your glory and sing the praises that you deserve in perfection. And all God's people said, Amen.